Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 42nd lecture on the Genesis. I will tell you now about the creation of a man, which is the highlight of the 6 days of creation. Today's lecture is easier than others. The creation of a man is mentioned again in Genesis chapter 2. So I will tell you about it based on what the recorded scripture for today says. God said in Genesis chapter 1, 26, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And Genesis chapter 1, 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Here, us refers to God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That means that God the Father created the whole world, but God the Son and the Holy Spirit also accomplished the creation together. Job chapter 38:7 also says, "When God laid the foundation of the earth, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Here the morning star referred to the archangels Lucia and Luciel, and the sons of God to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Also, John chapter 1, 10 says, the world was made through him. God the Holy Son. Likewise, God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit accomplished all the work of the creation together. Therefore, they surely worked together when man was created, which was the most important work in creation. When God the Trinity created the man, they did it in their image and according to their likeness. I told you that God the origin existed in the origin space as the form of the light that contained the sound. At a certain point of a time, he cohered in the vertex of the spiritual realm. From this one light, two more lights were separated, and they became the three lights in total. Each of the three lights put on a form, and they become a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the images and the likeness that God the Trinity put on at this moment, God the Trinity created the man. In other words, it was the image of a man that God the Trinity put on when they put on a form. It was the image of a man, a figure with a head at the top, a torso standing on the 2 feet and the arms and hands. Why did God put on the form of a man, not more godly one? Isn't there anyone among you who might think like this? The reason God the Trinity put on the same image as a man is that is the most beautiful. Among all creatures, animals, birds, fish, and insects, humans are the most beautiful. As you may see on the screen now, you can notice that image of a man is more beautiful than an image of any animals. Just compare man to other creatures. I told you that the reason God created man was to get true children. Now a father and his children should resemble each other. So they just called each other father, or my daughter, or my son. But what happened if they wouldn't resemble each other? That is why when God created the man in his own image. It is just as Isaiah chapter 43:21 says, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." Man's body has the best structure to give praises to God. It has a mouth that is the best to open in giving praises. And it has hands that are best to lift in giving glory to God. The best structure for moving your feet, dancing, and glorifying God in the human form as it's now. God knew that man is most beautiful when in his image, and he put on the image for himself first. If a person were like an animal that crawls on all fours, it would not be beautiful even if he danced and praised with his whole body. In a circus, a bear or a seal spins a ball and jumps over a rope. But doesn't it look good? Penguins walk, waddling, and if they stumble, they fall on their stomachs and sleep. Is it that beautiful? Only a human figure who can stand on 2 feet and move the whole body and both hands freely can express various movements beautifully. No matter how beautiful the sound the birds make, they cannot praise God in various languages and tunes like humans. What different ways people can sing in to praise the Lord? In addition, it's easy for man to look at the sky because of a walking upright. Try to look at the sky. Man can look up the heaven and think of his hometown, heaven. Also, human people can also look at all directions, north, south, east, and west, like this, up and down. But animals cannot do that. God made the body structure so that man can always seek after God and think of God in heaven. God formed man's neck in such a way that he can easily look all round and both up and down. In this way, man can gaze at the blue sky and look up at the sun and the stars. Man can see the coming and the going of clouds, beautiful rainbows, and the dragonflies that descend far from the sky. The eyes of the dragonflies are truly amazing. Like humans, they can look in all directions, and the up and down is so amazing. Now, do any animals look up at the sky like a man does? They don't see that a rainbow is up there, and they don't see where the clouds go. They don't need to know, and they don't care. Since animals crawl about on 4 legs, it's easier to look down at the ground than up at the sky. They always wander seeking something for food. And animals must always be careful and alert because they never know when and where the predator may appear. That's why God says in the Colossians chapter 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Man was created to look up at the sky, to set his mind and seek for the things above. Therefore, man should not look at or seek for the things on earth. Likewise, the structure of a man was created differently from that of the animals. You can see that animals are the lower dimensions than man, even from the body structure. It shows that all animals are under the feet of a man. By the way, God did give the birds wings that man doesn't have. But it doesn't mean a bird is in a higher dimension than man. Even though birds have wings, man rules them. Then what the reason God gave wings to birds and let them fly in the air? When man sees a bird flying in the sky, God the Father wanted man to overcome the limits of the fleshly space. Even though God created man to set 2 feet on the ground, He wanted man to realize there's another different world. Why did God give wings to angels that already had hands and feet? Through the angels that can both walk and fly, God shows that there's God who can do anything. By creating man without the ability to fly, God made them realize that they are the beings under God. Angels appear better than men outwardly, but they are no better than men because they don't have a humanity and a free will. God created all things like this, justice according to an order. Dear brother and sister, when God created man, He didn't make man to resemble only the outward image of God. God not only formed the outer shell of a man, but He blew into this shell the substance of a God, which is God's spirit. Genesis chapter 2:7 says, Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man becoming a living being. In this verse, the breath of life means the regional power of God. Again, the breath of life is the regional power of God. God breathed this breath of life into the nostrils of a man made of dust, and the man became a living spirit. The first man, Adam, was not a fleshly being, but a living being, a living spirit. This virally has been automatically passed on to the children of Adam in the Garden of Eden. God doesn't have to bring it to life every time they were born. However, when Adam was driven out to this earth, most of the breath of life was taken away and it was left as a small seed. Therefore, unlike in the Garden of Eden, the breath of life cannot be automatically transmitted to descendants to the earth. Accordingly, God implanted the spirit in the children who is 6 months in her mom's womb on the earth. Do you understand? A spirit is given to 6 months of fetus in a womb by God. To be exact, God planted the spirit was to contain the seed of life into the cell in the heart of the fetus. Therefore, the spirit given to all of Adam's descendants was ultimately given by God. I will get back to this with a greater detail in Genesis chapter 2. What you should remember is that the man's appearance resembled the image of God, and his spirit, the essence, also came from God. Therefore, you should understand how precious you are. Psalm chapter 82:6 says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. However, many people have lost this image of the Holy God. It's because they are born with the original sin, and it is also because they have a self-committed sin. 1 John chapter 3:8 says, The one who practices the sin is of the devil, for the devil has a sin from the beginning. The enemy devil and Satan incite people to commit sin by any means possible today that might lose the image of God. Dear sister and brothers, the enemy devil and Satan induced you to commit sin because you put that sinful nature in your heart, and because you have that element, you ended up committing sin as the devil leads you. It has nothing to do with God. You say you believe in God, but that is a lie. It's clearly stated in the 1 John, no matter how much you say you love God, if there's no truth in you, it's just a lie. If the truth is within you, you can never sin. But you've heard this truth for so many years, so why is it not within you? Because you know it as a knowledge. You only understand it in your head, not your heart. You remember the saying, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn your left cheek too, but you cannot put it into practice because you don't take the word to hear. God tells us not to commit adultery, and even imagine the committing the adultery is considered adultery, but when you see a pretty woman, you image committing adultery. It's so bad thing. In this way, Satan, the devil, causes you to lose the image of God by making you do something that God hates. You ended up resembling their darkness. The second half of the 1 John chapter 3 says the reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the works of the devil. This church is also working hard to destroy the devil. The reason Jesus came to the earth was to prevent people who were created in the image of God from becoming like the devil. Also, by becoming an atoning sacrifice himself, Jesus redeemed all sinners from their sin. And the Holy Spirit comes to those who accept Jesus Christ and helps them restore the image of God. For this, Galatians chapter 4, 6 to 7 says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. If you are the son of God, you are a heir, so you become a citizen of heaven and go to heaven as a son or a daughter of God. God the Father wanted to give His inheritance to all the people. That's why He sacrificed His only begotten Son, Jesus, and He also sent the Holy Spirit. God Himself gave His great love to sinners so that they could receive an eternal life and enter into heaven. In Galatians chapter 4, 19, the Apostle Paul said, My children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. As a shepherd, I myself do my very best to help you resemble God the Father and the Lord. Therefore, I urge you to recover the image of God completely to accomplish the whole spread. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 8, For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks in will be opened. I hope that you will regain the lost image of God and completely recover it. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may inherit the new Jerusalem in heavenly kingdom from God the Father. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so far I explained the fact that God the Trinity created the man from their own image of God. Genesis chapter 1, 27 says that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. You may be confused from this verse that God created male and female at the same time, but as you read Genesis chapter 2, you can clearly understand God didn't create the man and female at the same time. God made the male Adam first, and He formed Eve from the rib that He took from Adam. What Genesis chapter 1, 27 means is both male and female were created in the image of God. Of course, a male and female have physical differences from each other, but they share the same basic frame, the image of a man. This basic image was taken from the image of God. I will explain the great detail how God formed Eve from Adam's rib as we get to Genesis chapter 2. Dear brothers and sisters, today's scriptures which describe the creation of a man on the sixth day contain many implications. They are all explained in Genesis chapter 2. Along with the creation on the sixth day, there's also contents about the Garden of Eden in the second heaven. Let me put the things about the Garden of Eden aside for now, but I will briefly illustrate what the Bible says based on today's scripture. On the sixth day, God created Adam on earth, but He didn't let Adam live on this earth. This means that God created Adam on this earth and led him to the Garden of Eden. He took the Adam and put him into the Garden of Eden in the second heaven. Do you remember on which day of the creation God created the Garden of Eden in the second heaven? On the second day of the creation, when an expanse was created in the midst of the waters, and the Garden of Eden was created in the second heaven, and God made the waters above the expanse becomes the source of the river of the Garden of Eden. Adam was a living being, a living spirit who full of God's breath of life. The suitable space for Adam was the spiritual space in the second heaven rather than the earth. The environment of the Garden of Eden is similar to earth. Plants and animals do not die there. However, plants and animals created in the earth die at the end of their lifespan according to nature order here, while Adam lived in the Garden of Eden. Living things on this earth follow the fleshly law. Of course, the animals on the earth ate the grass and drank the water, not hunting other animals. There was no evil back then, so there were no carnivores but animals that ate grass. Since they were not evil, they didn't kill other animals either. However, according to the law, when a given lifespan expires, it died, and the animal's body was rotten and returned to the soil. This death of plants and animals has nothing to do with the law of the spiritual world that the wage of sin is death. Plants and animals died at the end of their lifespan, and the land was not cursed at the time. Therefore, no animals or plants had evil attributes. Since the earth was ruled by the law of the flesh, animals and plants died at the end of their lifespan. On the other hand, although Adam was created from the dust, he knew sin and was a living being, so he had nothing to do with the law of the flesh. This was the reason God didn't leave Adam to live along with other living things on the earth, which was dictated by the law of the flesh. Because God, Adam was a living being, he could not live on the earth, so he was brought into the spiritual space. As time goes by, creatures die and decay and go through this process, but since Adam was a living being in the space of a spirit, he had to enter the second heaven and live there. However, people still search for the Garden of Eden, saying it's somewhere in the Middle East, and someone said that they found it last time. They are also ignorant about the Bible. Who should let them know the truth? In the Bible, God tells Adam to be fruitful, multiply, and rule. There's no death in the Garden of Eden, and Adam continued to procreate and prosper. So how vast must God have made that place? Dear brothers and sisters, why did God create Adam as a living being and lead them into the Garden of Eden? In order to get the true children through Adam, God had to have Adam go through the process of the human cultivation. God had to allow Adam to experience the suffering, pain, and the sorrow while living on the earth, the fleshly space. Only then could he become a being who could appreciate the true happiness. For example, those who suffer from the disease can honestly realize the importance of health. For Adam to become a true child of God, while he lived in the fleshly space, he had to experience the sense of the relativity. Only then could he understand the heart of God, give thanks to God for what God had given him, and truly love him.
Because of Abba's love.
Then why didn't God cause Adam to be cultivated the earth right after he created them, but led him to the Garden of Eden? It was all because of the love of God the Father. What was it that God felt when he looked at the first man, Adam? It was Adam who was created the image of God to exactly resemble God. Just as people say, "My son is the apple of my eyes," Adam was such a lovely being to God. Moreover, God the Father suffered greatly in his heart because he was betrayed by the Lucifer, to whom he gave a great love. To such a God the Father, Adam, who was created delicately in image of God himself, was so beautiful and lovely. God wanted to give Adam his love, and he wanted to be loved by Adam in return as well. He wanted to be consoled by Adam, and he wanted to receive the peace and the rest while watching him. Mere God the Father were countless angels and the cherubim that knew nothing but obedience. But what God truly wanted, however, was the love and the comfort from Adam, whom God created in his own image. When I see saints who have a good heart, are untainted by the world, have a hope for New Jerusalem, and are preparing well as the Lord's bride, I love them so much. I'm comforted by them. Because I also feel their goodness without any evil, their clean heart, and their hope of the New Jerusalem. When you go to the Spirit, you can feel the goodness in others. That is your new energy, and you feel so happy. Even men, if they are good, become very lovable people. So the Word of God emphasizes goodness.
But
even Father God emphasized the goodness to man workers. But when you feel the evil in others, you are not, they are not lovable. Even the relationship between a shepherd and his flock, or shepherd his workers, cannot become anything more than a relationship if they do not fully feel the goodness of each other. The same goes for how God looks at his children. God also seeks children who have a full goodness and provide a comfort. More than anything, God wanted the children who will not change. They eventually go to the New Jerusalem. Even if you remove the changing heart, a tremendous change will happen to you. Immediately, the treachery and the will to betray disappear together. You will be a person who keeps all your promise and will definitely keep the vows you make to God, because there's no change in your heart. If a student has no desire to change, he will naturally study well and receive the highest award in the country. God chose people who would not change and refine them to do God's work and let them glorify Him. Except for Judas Iscariot, the Lord's disciples were also such a people, and even the Apostle Paul, who seemed too strong in righteousness and evil, had an unchanging inner heart, so God refined him and made him work for her. Coming back to Adam, God wanted to be praised through Adam, and he wanted to communicate freely with Adam and recover from the wounds and emptiness in his heart that he received from the Lucifer. Since God the Father created Adam in such an expectation and love, how could he let him live on the earth right after he created him? Even the fleshly parents don't let go of their children to go out into the world right away. They let them go after they raised them with love and teach them in earnest. God knew so well about the human cultivation which Adam would soon go through the earth. Adam would experience such a tough and hard times as sorrow, pain, suffering, disease, separation and the death of, during the period of the human cultivation. When Adam was created, he didn't know anything about the fleshly world or where he would be cultivated. Even though he already had the look of a grown-up, he was like a child without any knowledge. How could God the Father let Adam live in the fleshly space right away? Adam was driven out to this earth and the human cultivation began, but God did not force it to proceed. God first led Adam into the Garden of Eden, taught him many things, and gave him such a great authority and the power. God allowed Adam to enjoy the many things as he was worthy of a man who was created in his image of God. Now, what authority and the power did God give to Adam? I will explain it the next lecture. Let me conclude it. I explained that today how God created man in his own image. Man received from the God not only outward image, but also spirit, which is the essential part. This spirit that God gives never becomes extinct. Even if the body was a man perishes, the spirit that is given to each man never disappears. That's why those who are not saved are thrown into the unquenchable fire of hell. On the other hand, those who are forgiven of sin and to be united with the Holy Spirit by the believing in Jesus Christ, they go to the heaven to live an eternal life. Your eternal place in heaven will vary depending on how much you restore the image of God and how much you resemble God's heart. Through this Genesis lecture, you've heard how honestly God prepared for the human cultivation. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become a true children who fully resemble your Father, our Father, as a whole spirit, and that you will become the precious fruits of the human cultivation.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.